When I was graduating from high school, one of my teachers wrote in my yearbook that he hoped I'd wind up with a very satisfying set of years. That phrase, set of years, resonated deeply with me. It wasn't as if I didn't understand the finite nature of life and that one day I'd die. The very first prayer I learned as a preschooler ended with the line, "If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Those frightening words filled me with dread. In second grade, I got a beautiful rosary for my first communion. Now at bedtime, I'd say the rosary instead. That included 53 Hail Marys, each ending with the line, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." Somehow that didn't make death seem quite so imminent, but in that and so many ways, my religious education focused more on dying than on living. Biographical accounts of historical figures virtually always begin with the dates or years of birth and death, as if the two endpoints have primary significance before everything that happened in between. So a line segment as a mathematical metaphor for a lifespan does not resonate with me. No, it was Dr. Ribbon's mathematical metaphor of a set that gave me a palpable sense of the process of living. I love feeling that every happy experience I have drops into the set of years that defines my life like a shiny penny into a piggy bank. I had a heart attack in February 2015 when I was 63 years old. My father, a Chicago firefighter, had keeled over dead of a heart attack when he was 50, so this was scary, yet on the way to the hospital, I didn't have even a moment of the fear and dread I'd suffered as a little girl saying my bedtime prayers. No, during that time when I was closest to dying, my brain first raced to Russ and my kids, reviewing them one by one, reassuring myself that they'd be fine without me. Then I thought about my bank account and realized with relief that I hadn't spent any of the $2,000 advance on the ABA field guide I was writing. Russ could return it without affecting our family finances. Thinking those through got me to the end of Peabody Street. For the rest of the ride to the hospital, my mind focused on so many shiny pennies. My grandpa telling me about heroic pigeons. The day 17-year-old Russ mustered the courage to come see me at Loyola University when I was taking a summer debate workshop. Out of the blue that morning, there was the boy I had a huge crush on walking straight toward me, backlit and silhouetted by a brilliant stained glass window. How my heart leapt with joy, holding each of my babies for the first time, opening and reading for the first time my personal letter from Fred Rogers. Such shiny, shiny pennies. And then I remembered my first chickadee and Geppetto, the pileated woodpecker my kids and I raised and released, the adorable baby saw-whet owl I kept next to my bed at night. I'd thaw a mouse before I went to sleep, and when the tiny owl stirred in his box, I could easily feed him in the dark without waking Russ, thanks to the white feathers forming an arrow pointed directly to his mouth. So many beautiful, funny, lovely images that went on and on for what seemed like an endless car ride. I never once, even for a moment, thought of birds I hadn't yet seen, even my most wanted bird, the Cuban toady. As Mary Poppins says, enough is as good as a feast. In the 2025 movie Jay Kelly, the eponymous main character, a famous movie star, is reviewing his life and says, "All my memories are movies." In my case, just about all my memories are birds. The sidebar on the final page of my first book, For the Birds, An Uncommon Guide, reads, "When Russ and I put our family photographs in order, I couldn't recall dates, like one excursion to the Morton Arboretum. Joey was missing a front tooth, so it must have been... No, Katie's hair had grown out from her experiment with bunny scissors, so it couldn't have been before... I remembered 3 hooded mergansers in the pond, checked my bird lists, and had the exact date. No one should go through life listlessly. I'm thinking about all this because it's tax time. Long ago, an IRS agent assured Russ that my photographic equipment and mileage for trips specifically to see and photograph birds are legitimate expenses as a self-employed writer about bird stuff. It may have helped that when Russ called the IRS office in the Twin Cities, the guy recognized my name and loved my radio program. I'm terrible at record keeping. Russ is the one who keeps track of every penny of my income, but I'm the one who has to keep track of what expenses are bird-related. And since my bird photos are automatically organized by date, I can scroll through photos of the past year to jog my memory about where I've been and exactly when. Somehow, every time I do this, my memory is jogged in ways that far transcend financial records, reminding me of so many shiny pennies I've added to my set of years piggy bank. I've been so much luckier than so many people in the number of years I've been given, how resilient I've turned out to be when facing serious problems, the real-life guardian angels like my grandpa and several of my elementary and high school teachers who unknowingly but unfailingly got me through a traumatic childhood, recovering quickly and easily from 2 heart attacks and breast cancer. Now, at 74, I'm still accumulating shiny pennies. At this very moment, I peeked out the window at a chickadee looking directly into my eyes. I'd say I'm winding up with a very satisfying set of years indeed. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.